Matthew 28, 1 through 8. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone back from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples' word.
Chapter 15, verses 12 through 22. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Have I a heart of stone, so cold and dark within, that I can view the Savior in anguish for my sin, and never sorrow feel for all he sacrificed? Have I a heart of stone to watch the bleeding Christ? Have I no eyes to see that I can stand so near and watch the Savior wounded, but never shed a tear? Can I but coldly gaze upon his painful loss? Have I no eyes to see God's Lamb upon the cross? As I behold the blood and view the crucified, the piercing thought overwhelms me, 'twas for my sin he died. Lord, make my soul to feel thy suffering on the tree. Lord, break this heart of stone. Lord, make my eyes to see.
Long ago I saw my Savior bearing shame upon a tree. Then my heart was touched with sorrow, for I saw he bled for me. "It is finished," loud he cried. "Oh, what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary. Once for all, Christ rescued me." Though the sky was veiled in darkness, sudden trembling shook the ground. was jeering, mocking Jesus all around.
Finished loud he cried, oh, what love for me he died.
In my stead he bled on Calvary. Once for all, Christ rescued me. Then my Savior called to heaven, as I saw his love anew. Oh, my Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished, loud he cried, oh, what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary, once for all Christ rescued me. Free salvation now he offers, take his gift, oh, hear his plea. On the bloody cross behold him, join his shout of victory. It is finished, loud he cried, oh, what love for me he died. In my stead he bled on Calvary, once for all Christ rescued me.
Jesus Christ has made me whole. By his death he saved my soul. For my sin he 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
I follow Jesus to the cross. I saw his bleeding side, and there upon Mount Calvary, all hope within me died. My Lord was crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb. I followed Jesus to the grave and cried in deep despair. I fell before the garden tomb and wept in sorrow there. My Lord was crucified, my God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb. I saw the stone was rolled away. I heard a voice that said, "The Lord of glory, whom ye seek, is risen from the dead. My Lord was crucified. My God was slain. They laid him in the grave, and all seemed vain. But Christ arose and broke the gloom. My Savior left behind the empty tomb."
Savior low, sinners to justify. Christ slew the ancient foe, and he lives no more to die. Bow to the conquering King, God's own begotten Son. Death, where is now thy sting? God's redeeming work is done. Christ arose from the dead. Praise his matchless glory. Christ arose, as he said, tell the wondrous story. Christ arose, shout and sing. Jesus faileth never. Christ arose as the King, and he lives forever. Gone is the hopeless gloom, vacant the stormy bed. No more a conquering tomb, Christ is risen from the dead. Loudly the news proclaim, proudly the tidings spread. Publish the victor's name, Christ is risen from the dead. Christ arose from the dead. Praise his matchless glory. Christ arose, as he said, tell the wondrous story. Christ arose, shout and sing. Jesus faileth never. Christ arose as the King, and he lives forever. Jesus lives forever. Jesus lives forever.
offered living hope to Adam's race. By swallowing the sting of death and standing in our place, refusing to allow his Holy One to see decay, our God will make his own complete on Resurrection Day.
Praise the One
who lives, praise the One who lives again.
As he said, he is risen from the dead. Sometime in the early 1980s, we had been out as a family. We came home, and I went to my office in the house there, and I kept a cash box in my desk. I pulled the cash box out, I think, to put some change in from our outing, and it was empty. I had old silver dollars in there, some real old dollar bills, silver certificates, cash, maybe a couple $100s. It was all gone. Next thing I know, my children came running. They were carrying their piggy banks, and they said, "Our piggy banks are empty." Well, that was the last thing we expected, to find our empty money boxes. We'd been robbed. We called the police. There's a funny story about that. I had some change and a plastic cup sitting on my desk, and I mentioned that, and they put an article in the newspaper about the robbery in our house, and the only thing they listed that was missing was that plastic cup. But our things were empty. It wasn't what we expected. When the people came to the tomb on Sunday morning, they were not expecting an empty tomb. And it affected, at least for some of them, many of them, how they reacted. Let me show you some evidence that they did not expect to find an empty tomb. Matthew chapter 27, verse 59. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 59. Joseph had taken the body of Jesus. He wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre, and they saw this great stone rolled in front of the door. And then, beginning in verse 62, there were, you know, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were all concerned about somebody, quote unquote, stealing the body of Jesus, you know. So it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember that that deliverer said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again.'" Now they remembered that, you know. Some of the disciples seem to have forgotten about that, but they knew what he had said. And so it says in verse 64, "Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So now, not only is there a great stone, but it has Pilate's seal on it, and there are Roman soldiers guarding it. Let's go over to the Mark record, Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, and we begin in verse 2. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week," that's what we call Sunday, "they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?'" They expected the stone to still close the tomb. Now notice in verse 1 of Mark chapter 16, in addition to that, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. They were expecting the body to be in the tomb so that if they could get that stone rolled away, they could minister to a dead body. And even after Mary had seen the empty tomb, she runs and tells the disciples in Mark chapter 16 and verse 10, what are the disciples doing? Mark chapter 16 and verse 10, she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Now, the chief priests and Pharisees remember that Jesus said he was going to rise again in 3 days, on the third day. Most of the record says on the third day. If you were a disciple, wouldn't you be sitting there counting the days? Now, is this the second day or the third day? Is this the third day? This is time for the resurrection. Now, what are they doing? They're sitting there crying and mourning. Let's go to the John records, John chapter 20. Verse 1. John 20, verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, saying unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. She even saw the empty tomb and still thought the body was dead. You know, sometimes we miss out on a blessing because we don't expect it. I have a little desk at home. It was a desk my parents had, as far as I can remember. When I was wee little, I used to play underneath of it. And when I was getting married, I asked my parents if I could have the desk, and they said I could. They didn't really use it, and I had used it more than they did playing underneath of it. And I always liked that desk, and it was painted all black. And at one point, I thought something needed to be done to that desk, so I was preparing to give it a fresh coat of black paint. And my wife said to me, why don't you take the black paint off? So I did. And it was a beautiful, solid oak desk underneath of the black paint. I didn't expect that. My wife had more insight than I did about that. You know, wives are good helpers. And what a blessing. The disciples should have expected, don't you think? They should have expected. Eventually, it sunk in. You know, John is the first one to believe. John and Peter ran to the tomb. And John saw the cloth folded that had been on his face and saw that there was no body there, but the clothes he had been wrapped in were there. And John believed right away. It took the others some time. Eventually they would believe, and there would be many disciples believe, and through the years, they would pass down the message that Jesus had actually risen from the dead. And we had some of the scriptures written about that and how some people didn't believe in the resurrection. And yet, the truth is, Jesus Christ did raise up from the dead, and the tomb is to this day empty. This is what we see when our eyes adjust to the emptiness of the tomb. Here in John chapter 20 and verse 3, we begin reading, "Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in that, and also that other disciple, who was John, but never identifies himself in his own gospel, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." He believed. Christ was alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Why would we even be here this day? Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead." "And become the first fruits of them that slept." The first fruits. He was the first one to be raised from the dead in a glorified body. We see the living Jesus is really our Savior. Verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." In verse 42, I was going to talk about how we have the promise of incorruption. In verse 43, we have the promise of glory and power. In verse 44 through 49, we have the promise of being fully spiritual. And then in verses 47 to 49, we have the promise of being suitable for heaven. Can you imagine? Verse 47, "The first man of the earth is earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Just think of being suitable for heaven. Can you imagine? And then in verses 50 through 53, we have the promise of glorification. This is how we take on the image of the heavenly and become suitable for an eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." What is that victory? That victory is resurrection. When we have a funeral, we express how the person is absent from the body and present with the Lord. When we go to the gravesite and we commit the body to the ground, we always remind folks that that very body, regardless of its state of decay, when that trumpet sounds and Jesus comes in the air, that very body will be raised from the dead. The person who's been in heaven will be reunited with that body in a glorified form, suitable for eternity. And all of that because Jesus took on his body all our sins. As we said Friday evening, it was inevitable that he suffer because of the weight of all that sin. It was necessary that he bleed, because only his blood could pay the price of our redemption. And he died a real death. His body was buried in a real grave. And on that third day, Jesus rose from the dead. And in his resurrection, we have the promise of resurrection that makes us suitable for eternity with him. Can you rejoice in that? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what Jesus did for us. Help us to reflect his glory on this earth, till that wonderful moment when the trumpet sounds and we'll be with you forever. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.